I don't give a fuck if you think he's 55 years old. That guy will hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Jake Paul's on the other side of the ring and he sees Mike Tyson just bobbing and weaving, he's going to have a recognition.
Yeah.
He's going to look over and go, oh, my God, that's really Mike Tyson.
Dad, I don't want to be here. I want to be chilling with my homies.
Now, Chris, it's important you learn about your Irish heritage.
Ancient archaeological evidence indicates that Ireland was a much different place before the discovery of alcohol. Most experts believe it was something like this.
Gentlemen, today we, Ireland's top scientists, have found a way to convert our entire population to pure energy.
What a glorious day.
Hey, Michael McLeod's just invented a new kind of beverage in his basement.
Whiskey.
Yeah!
Good morning, America. How are you? I'm Rabbi Dave, and I feel like, well, that.
Good morning, America. This is Friar Rod coming to you live from, well, you know, plausibly live, I guess, from Oakdale, California, where it's nice, sunny, and it's going to be a balmy 74 today.
It's a balmy 70 here. But here's the problem with here right now. It's March, which means that as soon as the sun pokes itself out, all the trees go, hooray, time for tree sex.
Well, I mean, it's the only time you get it, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess if I only got it once a year or two, I'd be excited. But the trees, some of which I have in my yard, have gone, I mean, literally, the sun wasn't even out yet, but they knew it was coming, I think. And they just started pollinating. And let me assure you that while I might sound a little under the weather, I am clawing my eyeballs out on a fairly regular basis.
I have consistent congestion going on right now, sinus congestion. But we had, you know, Dave, we went through the almond blossoms a couple of weeks ago. It's actually right before the big rains came.
Right.
Those are all done now.
I don't understand it. I had no problems when I was stationed here before. Back in the 80s, no problems at all. Moved to Virginia, which, by the way, is pretty pollinated heavily anyway. No problems there. Moved to Georgia and it about killed me. Then I moved to Modesto. And I moved to Modesto and the almonds got me, man. Every year.
The almonds and then the dust from the harvest of the almonds.
Dust didn't bother me. It's just the almonds. Then I came here thinking, oh, we'll get away from all that.
Too late.
Well, on the plus side, and I realize nobody cares about all this, but on the off chance that you're thinking about moving up here, and I know some of you are because you've sent me texts saying, Dave, I'm thinking about moving up there. What should I know? What you should know is that in March, as soon as the sun is popping out, the trees go bananas. Now, for me, it's kind of weird because it only really affects my eyes. I mean, my eyes are, I realize this is radio, you can't see my eyes, but trust me, my eyes are, even my wife yesterday.
They're a little puffy today, I can tell.
I walked in the house yesterday and my wife says, your eyes are really red. I said, I know. And the problem is I can't take anything for it. Because A, anything I take affects my blood sugar, and B, I'm a lightweight when it comes to those kinds of things. And even the ones that say non-drowsy knock me out. And I ended up having to take one yesterday about 3:30. And I got up at 8 o'clock this morning. So there you go. Anyway, it really only affects my eyes. I sneeze occasionally, but I can deal with that. But my eyes, man, I get to the point where I'm just like clawing my eyeballs out. And so I spend a lot of time in the shower because it's about the only place I can get any kind of relief at all. And it just, I don't know. I don't know which is worse, the trees up here, but it only lasts for a few days. By the end of the week, Rod, I mean, today's Sunday. It's the first day of the week, right?
Yeah.
By the end of this week, I'll be okay. I'll be back to normal. Unless the predictions are right, because the Weather Channel predicts that it's going to be moderate every day this week. Whereas pollen.com, which is a thing,
it is,
predicts that it's going to be high all week.
And I get that daily report, actually, from pollen.com in my email.
Do you?
Yeah, it's actually nice. Like, today's was 8.8 out of 10. So it's a medium high day. Mulberry, ash, and oak are the problem.
We're at 9.9 out of 10.
Yeah.
So anyway, I can't really see anything. So if Rod is making faces at me or flipping me off or whatever, I don't really know. I do know that I had to spend a buttload of money yesterday on my computer systems. I upgraded all the control software for my video systems. Mm-hmm. And only after I upgraded it all did I discover that it was proprietary.
Oh.
And I have to have their webcam.
Oh.
So I had to buy a new webcam, which isn't here yet. It won't be here till later today. So if I look weird, it's because I'm using the old system. The new system, once I get it in place, which probably will not be until May, because I'm going to be distracted. It's going to make it look a whole lot better. Not that any of you care, because this is radio, but I care, and it makes me happy. And that's what I need right now.
With the new system, I can actually see your puffy eyes and the scratch marks that you...
You will see all of that. And,
okay.
And I'll be able to do funky things like spin around and...
Okay.
Change my backgrounds. And the theory here is that it's really for my show to improve those things, but who knows? Cause I'm starting to get into that weird mode where I'm starting to get panicked about next month, but I don't want to talk about that right now. What I do want to talk about is the fact that Roderick Cook, the good friar,
mm-hmm.
has been banned by the LDS Church. And I just wanted to say, welcome to the club. I know what I did to piss him off. What did you do to piss him off?
I pointed out the fact that the Pirate Bible is actually a little arm of the LDS Church. I said, hey, the Pirate Bible is great. I love it. It's fun. I just didn't care for the LDS Church showing up at my door.
And they banned you for that?
I did. I guess I'm still on there. I don't know.
Wow.
Let me see. But
That's kind of touchy.
Yeah, they're a little touchy. They did respond, though, in pirate speak, which I thought was okay. Yeah, okay, that's pretty funny. Yeah.
I went walking the other day because the sun was out and before the pollen really hit. It was a really nice walking path near here called the Clear Creek Trail, if you're looking at a map. Anyway, I'm out there on the Clear Creek Trail, which is where Beaver Town is, and there's animals, and it's just a really cool thing. Anyway, they had the missionaries out there on the trail, stopping people, interrupting people while they're trying to walk to talk to them. And I had my headphones on, so I just nodded and waved and went on my way.
There you go.
Didn't have anything to do with it. So you still liking this Pirate Bible thing?
I do. I think it's pretty funny.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear it because I had my doubts. I really did.
Well, so here, I'll continue on from where I did. I'll just do a couple of verses. It's just that you can get it. So we covered day one in Genesis. So our God said, let there be sky in the midst of the drink and let it divide the drink from the drink. Arr, the Almighty fashioned the sky and split the seas neath it from the seas above, and 'twas so. The Almighty proclaimed the sky to be heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So yeah, it's pretty funny.
So is that a pirate accent or an Irish accent? Today is St. Patrick's Day.
It is St. Patrick. Well, it's, I don't know, my accents start getting mixed up. You know, I did learn a wee bit of an Irish accent, don't you know? But then I start talking like a pirate and I drop my voice and do more guttural sounds.
Well, maybe there were Irish pirates.
They could have been.
Irish Bible pirates.
That would be a Monty Python skit.
I'm not big on St. Patrick's. I'm just not a big St. Patrick's Day celebrator.
The Crimson Brigade. What is it? The Crimson Assurance, Permanent Assurance. That's what
right,
it is.
Right. I don't know. Number one, I'm not a huge corned beef fan.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I used to really like it. And then I had a really, really, really bad experience.
How do you have a bad corned beef experience?
March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 2010, was the end of my hockey career. Corned beef ended my hockey career. How's that sound?
Okay.
Had corned beef for lunch, went and played hockey that afternoon, evening. And I got sick on the rink.
Ugh.
And I never played again. And I've never had corned beef again.
Okay.
So my wife, on the other hand,
neither has the Zamboni driver.
My wife, on the other hand, loves corned beef. And so every year I have an old shipmate of mine who makes, I don't know how to describe, homemade corned beef. Is that the best way to describe it?
Homemade corn.
He buys the meat, and then he does all the corning stuff that makes it corned beef, and then he sells it. And so every year I buy about 3 pounds of it from him, because my wife loves it. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Not all that big on
cabbage. There are certain things I can't eat either after being sick back when I was 12.
That and apple something, some kind of apple liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. We did that one night. We did that one day on the DUI show with John and I. And that was the only time I ever actually got sick on that show. It's an apple, whatever the hell that was.
Now, for me, it's roasted marshmallows and cocoa. The smell of either one of those.
I like marshmallows, but cocoa I can take or leave, but I prefer coffee. So
coffee's great, man.
There you go. Anyway, none of this has anything to do with any of the real issues of the day.
No.
Which are, of course, we're sending more money to Ukraine.
Of course.
I was starting to get worried. I mean, we'd gone like 6 or 7 weeks without giving money to Ukraine. I don't know what was up with that.
Well, yeah, they got to keep the money laundering going somehow, right?
Well, how's that war going? Does anybody know? I mean, it's not front page news anymore.
No, I see little clips here and there on the Daily Mail. They talk about it, but right. I think Russia's still kind of advancing.
Last I heard, there was a big attack in Russia. The Ukrainians actually attacked Russia, which
they did. They had some drones go and really far in, actually on the other side of Moscow, and attacked a refinery.
That's a long way.
It is.
For a drone.
Yeah.
That's almost insane. Anyway, I haven't kept up on it. I know that's kind of a problem, because it seems like something we should be paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm far more concerned right now with, you know, what Dylan Mulvaney is doing and stuff like that. So anyway, it's I don't know how the war in Ukraine is going, but I know it's still going, and I know we're still paying for it.
Yeah.
And I know it's going to become an issue in the presidential election between the two oldest people to ever run for the office.
Yeah. Well, and then you've Putin's out there saying, hey, people, wait a minute. I've got nukes, people.
Right. Hello? He said that before, though, didn't he?
Anybody? I've got nukes.
Here's the problem with saying that. You can run around and say, hey, I've got nukes. But unless you're going to use it, nobody's going to listen to you.
Yeah.
Because everybody already knows you have them.
So what's he waiting for? I mean,
I don't know.
If he dropped a tactical one on Ukraine, wouldn't that kind of like stop? People would be up in arms, I guess. But Ukraine is not a NATO country, so.
Do you think that matters to the current administration?
No.
If Vladimir Putin dropped a nuke on Ukraine today, what do you think the United States response would be?
Oh my gosh, they'd probably send troops there.
There's already troops there. We already learned that.
Well, yeah, I know that. Of course. Any conflict.
F-35s are scouting for the... Yeah. We went through all this. F-35s are going, oh, look, there's a Russian missile over there. Here's the coordinates. No. Here's
Let's how to paint that with a laser beam.
Yeah. You push the button, but we'll do everything else.
Mm-hmm.
He can't go nuke. If he goes nuclear, it's going to come back on him.
Yeah.
And when this whole thing started, I was getting emails, probably two a day from people, listeners, who are explaining to me that this is going to be the end of Putin. Putin's going to fall. The Russians are never going to put up with this. They're going to rebel.
There's some of that right now with the elections going on.
Yeah. Let me guess how those elections are going to turn out. Kind of like North Korea, right?
It's a close race.
It'll be a close race. One personal vote against him. I was pleased.
Apparently they were destroying some of the polling places. They were lighting up, you know, they're firebombing or lighting them on fire.
See, that helps. That just increases his leadership, right? It increases his lead. Plus that way, see, if that happened here, right, you could burn up a polling box or something, and then they'd blame it on Trump. It's Trump's fault. He'd slowed down the mail. So they had
to look, we recovered the ballots, and there's five more boxes than it could actually be stored in there.
And they're all for Biden. Amazing. But we couldn't count them until after 2 in the morning. I can't. I mean, I guess he could, but war is an irrational act, and only irrational people commit it, which means that Putin is already irrational, and Russia's irrational for following him. The rule of thumb is that Russia started the war, which means that Russia will lose the war. That's the modern rule of thumb, but it isn't working out that way. And you'd think for our bucks that we keep sending these people, they'd be doing a better job of pushing the Russians out, and they're not.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of weird to me. I don't know. Anyway, I haven't been following it that closely lately because
you can't see. And yes, yeah, I understand. And your eyes are like all puffy and scratchy and now you're having a sneezing attack. So, hey.
Stay with us. We'll be back with the real stuff right after this. Welcome back. I'm Dave.
I am Rod.
So my son, whom I love dearly, was riding with me in the car today. I like it when he does this. He doesn't do this very often, but sometimes he'll just wander in here and go, Dad, can we just go for a drive?
So is that without headphones?
Without headphones.
Oh, okay. No headphones. Now that's a miracle.
No tablets, nothing. Dad, can we just go for a drive? Sure. So we headed out. And we actually ended up going to Walmart for some things. But at any rate, along the way, he's like, so what do you think was the worst marketing decision in history? This is the kind of question I get from my son. And this is a good one because he has his own opinion about this.
Okay.
Which involves some game that I have no idea what is.
I'm sure.
And he tried to explain it to me. And I was like, well, I don't know.
It's not No Man's Sky, so.
No, it's not, which is, there's two games that I play now. No Man's Sky, thanks a lot, Rod, and Out of the Park Baseball. And that's the limit of my gaming at this particular point. And the ridiculous part of No Man's Sky is, and I have to say this, I don't feel like I'm actually doing anything. I'm just running around seeing what there is to see.
Yeah.
People keep telling me, oh, you got to build farms, and you got to make money, and you got to. I was chasing the Artemis character for a while.
Yeah.
Finally found him and murdered him.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other dude, Apollo, I was chasing him for a while, and then he just vanished. I don't know where he went. So now I'm just running around digging holes. It's just Minecraft for adults, people. That's all it is.
It is.
So I'm building a castle on this deserted island somewhere where there's no resources. Do you remember where you found the sunken freighter? That's where I'm building my castle. So
okay.
Anyway, so I play that. I play Out of the Park
on a Fallout world where there's nuclear radiation.
Yes, there's nothing there. There's no resources. Nothing. Every time I need parts, I got to go somewhere else to get them. So it's like, anyway, so that's the only game I play. So anyway, back to this question: what is the greatest marketing mistake ever made? And at the time, now keep in mind, this was almost 3 or 4 days ago. I said to him, well, I think that the Dylan Mulvaney thing for Bud Light But I'm not convinced that that was a marketing decision. It had a marketing effect.
Yeah.
But I don't know that the marketing department said, hey, let's get Dylan Mulvaney to advertise our beer. Because that's not what happened.
It was a third-party company that was working for them that was handling the influencers, right? And that's something that all the companies are doing right now that they're handling. Well, maybe not as much. But but they're handling, you know, they're handing out these freebies for influencers just so that they can kind of promote on the backside. It's a cheap thing. It's a cheap way to get marketing done.
Well, there's a story right now about a cruise ship that's making a 9-month around the world cruise, and a TikTok influencer who was begging Bravo Television to put cameras out to turn this into a reality show.
Wait, that's not narcissistic at all.
Well, he was begging them to do it. I'd watch. And now he's gotten one of these companies to put him on the cruise. And he's going to, quote unquote, create chaos on TikTok, I assume, which you should probably, if you're going to watch this, you probably should do it soon before it gets banned. But at any rate, I'm not sure that's a marketing decision. And I'm not sure that the Dylan Mulvaney thing was a marketing decision.
No.
It had a marketing effect. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Well, and then there were some follow-up marketing decisions based on on that, but
one of which was to bring in Peyton Manning, which you can't go wrong with Peyton Manning.
So. It was cringe still.
It was cringe, but have you ever watched Peyton Manning's commercials for anything else? He thrives on cringe.
Sure. Oh, no, good for him. He made money off that. So I'm cool.
Yeah,
I'm cool.
More money for Peyton Manning.
Yeah. I love their ESPN coverage or whatever it is that they do.
Who could come back tomorrow and play quarterback for the Broncos and still do better than Russell Wilson.
No comment.
So when it comes to actual marketing decisions, I had to go with New Coke. New Coke was, I don't know how many of you remember this or not. I remember it very, very well.
Okay. Okay.
And
I may have one up on this one. Hold on. Coca-Cola, I have to go check my browser history.
Yeah, Coca-Cola was fantastic. It was perfect. It was delicious. It was refreshing. It was satisfying. And then they screwed it up and tried to turn it into Pepsi, which I don't care. All you people sending me, including my son, sending me notes going, they taste the same. No, they don't. And they certainly didn't back before New Coke. And then it was like New Coke was trying to out-sweeten Pepsi. And of course, it turned into a marketing debacle, which they then undid by bringing back old Coke, which they now called Coke Classic. And then they kept making New Coke for another, 20 years before they finally said, this is stupid, and did away with it. Now, the problem with that as a worst marketing decision is I'm not convinced that it wasn't on purpose.
Okay.
There's a part of me that says they screwed this up on purpose to generate buzz. And they got Bill Cosby to do the ads. Bill Cosby did the original New Coke ads, which of course at the time nobody knew was a problem, but somebody knew that it was a problem, but nobody was saying anything about it being a problem. So there's a part of me that still says that was manipulate. They were doing, they had this idea that this somehow or another, this would generate buzz. And this is back in the era of the Cola Wars. You kids today don't know nothing about the Cola Wars. Even Billy Joel sang about the Cola Wars at one point. They were vicious. They were terrible.
Yeah. Well, so Dave, I mean, talk about the Cola Wars. There was a 1992 Pepsi competition where they had this, it's Number Fever. I don't know if you remember this, but in the Philippines, they had this big ramp up for Number Fever. The actual contest ended up killing 5 people. And the idea behind it was fairly simple, that the numbers would be printed on the soft drink bottle caps. Remember that, where they used to print it on the underneath side?
Okay.
And then each morning and evening, the local news would announce winners. So what went wrong was that there was a printing problem, and the winning numbers that Pepsi had chosen ended up going, they printed over 800,000 winning numbers in the Philippines. And of course, the Philippines, you know, they're all freaking out. They're all thinking that they're winning. And then Pepsi said, oh, no, wait a minute. No, there was a problem. We didn't do this. And so there were riots when Pepsi said, no, we're not going to pay. And it was, they promised people to become millionaires. And Pepsi ended up losing $32 billion off of that.
Again, a marketing decision or a technical problem?
There was a technical problem, but I think it was another bad marketing decision to say, no, wait a second, we can't pay that.
Right. Almost as bad as when they did the win a jet competition or something. Yeah. And the guy won the jet and they said, oh no, sorry. That's not. And then they ended up, did they end up having to give him the jet or something? I don't remember. Anyway,
I don't remember.
All these decisions were dumb and weird, and companies make mistakes, and bands are notorious for this. Bands make bad marketing decisions all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got to sit there and listen to these interviews on MTV back when MTV actually did music, and tell you about, oh, the VJs would have to interview them about how great their new album was, and everybody knew it was crap, and
mm-hmm.
everybody would have to be. But I didn't. I started thinking about this in this terms of what my son was asking me. And by the time I got back, my inbox was my e-box.
Well,
full of articles about Tyson's Foods. Now, Tyson Foods is one of the biggest chicken companies in the world, if not certainly in the country, if not the world. Very big down where I was from in Georgia, but
not so big in the valley because we have Foster Farms.
Right, right. Who I once had to interview, a congressperson who shall remain nameless, but his initials are Dennis Cardoza, who presented my producer with a list of five questions about Foster Farms. They were chicken. He presented my producer with a list of five questions and very specific instructions that if I deviated from these five questions, he would enter in the interview.
Okay.
And they were all about injecting salt water into chickens to make them plumper.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, and I was still pretty new at this biz, and I said to myself, well, that's just stupid. Nobody's going to listen to that. And so I asked the first question. He read me his answer. And so then I said, now let's talk about this. And he hung up. And I'm very proud to say that when Dennis Cardoza finally, quote unquote, retired from Congress, quit, he sent a letter to the Modesto Bee complaining about people talking about him. And of course, the things that he complained about were the things I was talking about. So.
Of course.
Anyway, Tyson Foods is one of the biggest food companies in America. They have plants in Iowa, Virginia, Arkansas, Indiana, Missouri. They want to double immigrant hires to 84,000 people this year. Going to pay them $16 and some odd cents a minute and
an hour, whatever.
and hire lawyers for them to get their immigration status kicked off.
Okay, that's.
Now you might say to yourself, "Well, that seems, I mean, they're here, so."
Yeah, really. Well, the question comes this, you know, whose jobs are they displacing now?
Well, that's the problem. See, if they were just hiring these people, you'd go, okay. But at the same time, this company announced that they were shutting down a plant in Iowa, laying off something like, I don't remember, 1,400, 1,500 American workers.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually replacing them with these illegal immigrants, whom they are also going to hire attorneys for.
Yeah.
And for reasons that
make so it can be legal, right?
1,276 out of a town of 8,000. So to be clear here, the marketing decision, I mean, Tyson Foods is well known for supporting leftist, progressive Democrat candidates. Well known for that. But here's the question in today's world. Why in God's name would you put out a press release saying you're doing this?
Some DEI person in a position said, hey, this looks good. This is good news.
Okay. You're not getting my facial intensity here.
Oh, I'm
sort of
getting
that. Who eats more chicken?
With
conservatives or liberals?
Well, the liberals that aren't vegan.
How many vegan conservatives are there?
There's some.
How many conservative vegans do you see having chicken barbecues in the South every freaking chance they get?
Yeah.
Okay. So you put out a press release saying we're shutting down this plant, laying off 1,200 Americans and devastating this town. Oh, and we're going to hire 84,000 illegal immigrants, pay them $16.65 an hour, and hire their immigration attorneys for them.
And it's still cheaper than the Americans they just fired.
And expect what to happen when you put out this press release.
Yeah, that's
which, of course, has naturally blown up all over social media about boycott ties. Now, look, I'm not big on boycotts. And I'll be honest with you, I've almost never looked at the chicken that I'm buying and gone, well, this is from this and this is from that. Although when I was in the Valley, I tended to buy Foster Farms just because.
Yeah.
Local.
It is local. Yeah.
And I'm wondering to myself, is this going to blow up into the worst marketing decision ever?
I don't know.
Worse even than giving Dylan Mulvaney his own can.
So the marketing decision was really the decision to put out the press release that you're hiring these people.
Right. Nobody pulled the CEO aside and said, look, we're with you. Let's just not tell anybody we're doing this.
Yeah.
Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Not worry about telling anybody.
Let's not connect the dots for them.
Right. If you're right, and this is going to improve our bottom line, nobody on the board or none of the investors are going to care. But instead, let's tell the entire American people, including, by the way, what's that guy's name? The dude with the weird hair and the orange skin. Oh, yeah. Donald Trump, who's running for president of the United States against the guy you support. Let's make sure he knows about this, too.
Yeah. It's going to be a bloodbath, Dave.
What the hell do you think is going to happen here? And of course, it's already started happening.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it's bemusing or not. What I am concerned about is my chicken is getting more expensive.
Well, and so here's the thing. In light of the Bud Light fiasco, right? And there was some serious damage done by that how they handled that.
Over 6 cans that were never sold.
Yeah. Yeah. That now that Tyson, and so that kind of leads some credence that at least on the conservative right, that there's some power behind that. And Bud Light's still affected by it. They are still no longer the number one beer in the country.
Well, this theory about beer, and that is that beer is fungible.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to offend the beer drinkers in the audience. As not usual, me. I don't give a fuck. All beer tastes the same. Especially when you're talking about this mass produced.
When you're talking about the Bud Light and all those ones. Yeah,
they're all the same. So if I'm not going to buy Bud Light because I don't want to support I can buy Coors Light and get the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, the people who run Bud Light didn't seem to grasp that concept. Beer is fungible.
So they're buying Modelo now.
Yes. Well,
which is
great. I'll be honest. The few Modelos I've had, I kind of liked.
They were actually better.
Not a huge beer fan, but I did like Modelo Gold. Is that?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't drink Modelo. So
anyway, what was I going to say? Is chicken fungible?
Not really.
Doesn't seem like it would be, right?
Well, the chicken manufacturers are maybe.
Right. But they're not like gasoline. They're not all buying the same material and they're not all buying it from the same supplier. They're actually processing it themselves. And so I don't know that chicken is fungible. So I'm looking at this going, has Tyson just literally committed Harry Carey right in front of us on the internet?
Maybe, but this is Foster Farms' opportunity to expand their market.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine being in the boardroom at Foster Farms this morning going, opportunity has knocked.
Let's go. Move people, move.
Not only that, but I mean, then you get into the politics of the whole thing with firing Americans to hire illegal immigrants. Now, the problem they're going to run into, and I don't understand why people don't understand this. Okay. So you hire these people cheap on the cheap.
Uh-huh.
Then you buy them immigration lawyers to get them to become citizens.
Yeah.
And then your own people move in and go, hey, let's unionize and demand more money.
Yeah.
Do they not see that coming?
Or you've just trained a bunch of people and skills, and now that they'll move on.
Yeah, to Foster Farms.
Because they've got their legal residency, and now they can go somewhere else.
Yeah. Right.
To Foster Farms, yeah.
Do they not see that coming? Or is that part of the problem? Do they care?
I think they're very short-sighted.
Is this all just about getting Biden reelected?
Could be.
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be the worst marketing decision in history or not. I know that Dylan Mulvaney's effect was a marketing effect, and it was it was catastrophic for Bud Light.
Yeah.
And of course, he hasn't improved his situation at all with his latest fiasco. Oh. For those of you who have missed that.
How can he not be a parody of women?
I mean, that's a parody. That's the whole thing. He's just making fun of women.
Yeah. And so the left doesn't see it. They don't get it.
Well, they can't get it. Because if they admit they get it, then what?
Yeah.
Then they invalidate this whole BS about transgenderism. In the meantime, if you have not seen his latest, I don't even know how to describe it. It's him pretending to be a bimbo while being a bimbo.
Yeah.
As if this is what girlhood really is.
Which goes to tell you that men really do not understand women, even men that pretend to be women.
Right. And I'm pretty sure I don't really know any men that would want a woman like that, to be honest.
No.
So why are you pretending to be like that? I have my theory, which is that this is, you're just, you know, attention whores are going to attention whore. It's what they do.
And he wants money, right? And, you know.
Stop giving him money, people. Stop it. If there's no other reason to ban TikTok, and frankly there isn't, but if there was a reason to ban TikTok, it's to get rid of Dylan Mulvaney.
Oh, yeah. But
we'll see what happens. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Oh, wait. I guess I should ask the question, right?
Yeah.
What do you think is the worst marketing decision of all time? Send us an email, WTF@whatthefrock.org, or comment on our Facebook page, What the Frock, or on our website, whatthefrock.org. Now, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to What the Frock. Dave, we've got ourselves an interesting news article here. You know, there's insurance fraud's a thing. It's pretty bad. In California, it's pretty bad as well. But apparently there was a man who's been charged with insurance fraud after trying to claim over $1 million for a double amputation because of frostbite he received on his legs. So now investigators are accusing the man identified as his surname Chang, and this obviously is not in the U.S., but he basically what he did is that he deliberately immersed his legs in a bucket filled of dry ice for 10 hours in order to claim the money. The problem that he has is that the Taiwanese Criminal Investigation Bureau, they were alerted by the insurance company. Because he did take several high payouts. And the Investigation Bureau kind of in the report noticed that in Taiwan is really a subtropical region, and there are, as a result, no known cases of serious frostbite requiring amputation due to natural climate factors, which he was trying to claim that he got frostbite while riding his bike. So then there's a picture of this guy with his feet in a bucket of dry ice. Actually, he's zip tied to a chair so he can't get up.
I was going to say, because I've touched dry ice before, and believe me, there's no way in hell I'm spending more than 10 seconds, let alone 10 hours.
Yeah, well, once your nerves go, I don't think you're feeling it anymore. But anyway, so yeah, this guy got his legs amputated, tried to get the big payout. Not going to happen. Instead, he's going to jail.
Huh. Wow. That's insane.
That's a WTF.
My question to folks is, which is better for WTF stories, do you think? The New York Post or the Daily Mail?
It swings back and forth for me.
It's tough because I'm looking at stories today. Rod sent me stories out of the mail. And of course, the problem I have is when I go click on those stories, then I see other stories on the side. And I start scrolling down this one. Ozempic, wonder drug weight loss has one surprising side effect that will have you wondering if you should take it. Well, it has several, but you know, this one is about, apparently it's making people not want to have sex.
Okay.
So there you go.
That's what the trees need then. Give the trees Ozempic and then your problems are solved, Dave.
There's a story in here about that big Swedish blue store where you buy stuff to put together. How do you say that name?
IKEA.
See, you're saying it wrong. Because you're an American, you say it IKEA, and it's really IKEA. There's a whole story. There's a whole story in here. I'm talking about 5 column inches, 800 words about how we mispronounce IKEA. Which would be, you know, weird enough, but
how do the Swedes pronounce Neanderthal?
They pronounce it correctly, I'm sure, Neanderthal. But there you go. But then the story about the guy on the cruise ship came from the Post about this whole thing. But then there came this story. Is this the most annoying thing anyone has ever done on an airplane? Is this the most obnoxious device ever? Selfish woman disrupts overnight flight. I've made a few red-eye flights in my lifetime. And quite frankly, normally when I'm flying overnight, I try to stay awake anyway because I'm trying to shock my system into wherever I'm going. Uh-huh. So like I went from the Eastern time zone to Central European time once to stay up all night. That way you're synced up to their system. And coming back was the same thing. Flown back and forth across the country. I usually find that I have a harder time driving back and forth across the country. Because the time shift. You're slower than an airplane, so it's not instantaneous.
Yeah.
But you don't really...
And it's usually you go off by an hour.
Right.
Or so. The time freaking change.
Yeah. So when I'm on an airplane, I tend to not pay attention to people around me, but this woman, and of course this is all over social media because this is what we do now. She had a charging cord for her device. Cause now we have to have those everywhere. I thought you had to turn off your devices in the airplane, but
no, apparently some planes some airlines are not installing the video monitors. So they say they have little clips now where you can actually stream to your phone.
Well, that makes sense, I guess, which just raises the real question about what exactly is this, why we have to turn these things off, because it's going to screw up the navigation BS.
The landing and the takeoff navigation. Yeah, which
doesn't make any sense. It's never made any sense to me. Don't send me the emails trying to explain it because your explanations are too technical and they make no sense. At any rate, so apparently this woman has a charging cord, but it's not just a charging cord. Apparently they sell on Amazon a lighted charging cord.
Okay.
So it's like those LED lights, you know, and it just lights up. But worse than that, it doesn't just light up and glow. It's like a light show kind of thing.
I can see that would be annoying.
Well, apparently, who does this? Wrote a perturbed passenger in a Reddit post claiming the abominable skylight incident. In the incriminating clip, the passenger in her row can be seen displaying a rainbow light up charger sold on Amazon. The kaleidoscope cable cycles through a spectrum of strobing colors like a radioactive Twizzler, illuminating the dark interior of the cabinet where passengers are trying to sleep. This was perhaps the one time it was not pleasing to see a rainbow in the sky. And of course, they got video of it. Some people are literally the inverse to social anxiety, and it really shows. Comment one.
That's not a passive aggressive statement at all.
Why would somebody own that? Seriously, ask another. And there are multiple. A third wrote, this is horrendous. I'm surprised the flight attendant didn't say anything. Did anyone say anything to her? If that's why she thinks it's okay to do shit like this, because nobody said anything to her. The original poster said, I just put my hood up and covered my head and endured. Speaking of Anyway, it was, I don't know. People on airplanes do weird stuff.
They do.
And that's why I don't fly anymore. Because you get
that. Is that why? Is that really why?
Well, it's part of it anyway. But it's all people on airplanes, people on cruise ships, people that who put feet into buckets. Although Ben loves it. Every time we get an Omaha Steaks order.
Yeah.
It comes in that with that dry ice. And Ben loves to put that in the sink and play with it.
Yeah. The one order I had, I put that in my pool.
Yeah. Oh, I bet that was cool.
It sort of was. And then I realized, hey, you know what? This really cold object is now at the very bottom of my pool. What kind of effect on the plaster is that going to be? So I pulled it out.
It's all the kind of thing that makes me say,
WTF.
Welcome back. I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
So have you ever watched on television a man kill another man? I mean, actually kill, not simulated violence, not, you know, accident. I mean, actually intentionally kill another person.
Apart from any kind of maybe police chase or something like that, that's covered on the news, but then the news typically doesn't show the actual killing blow. So I guess the answer would have to be no. I've seen YouTube videos.
Way back when in the 1980s, there was a film called Faces of Death.
Oh, I think I remember that. Yeah.
Faces of Death 5, 6, whatever. And it was purportedly people actually killing each other. Mm-hmm. I watched it on patrol one year and I was like, it's not real. But at any rate, we're going to have the opportunity here soon to actually watch a man kill another man live on pay-per-view.
Hmm.
Some idiot, Jake Paul, who I've never really heard of. I mean, I've heard the name, is going to fight Mike Tyson live on pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, then Mike Tyson's, I don't know what shape he's in now, but I mean, he's got to have still the muscle memory for a lot of that.
Well, see, there's part of the problem. Is it okay? What kind of shape is Mike Iron Mike in? So Iron Mike posted a video of him sparring.
Yeah.
And frankly, it was horrifying. It was frightening. It was like, there's no way in hell I'm getting into the ring with that guy. He's going to kill someone.
And bite your ear off.
Especially someone who is not a trained classical boxer or even an MMA fighter in anything. So he posts this video. It's 10 seconds long. It's mesmerizing. Little known Dave Diamond fact, I enjoy boxing. I always have.
Okay.
I do not like MMA fighting, but boxing is something that I have always enjoyed, always liked. And I grew up in an era with Muhammad Ali and Leon Sphinx and into the era of.
And you watched the Rocky movies?
I did watch the Rocky movies, although that's not really boxing. But anyway, Mr. T was great. Anyway, the point of all this being that.
I'm better than a fool.
There's a sport to boxing that I think lacks in some of the other sports. But that's my own opinion. Take it for what it's worth. I understand the blood sport of MMA and why people, but as far as I know, no one's actually gotten killed doing that. It's possible. Yeah. I did watch the bout where my favorite boxer of all time killed a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't kill him right away. He gave him a concussion and his brain swelled. Anyway, point of all this being that I watched this video of Mike Tyson sparring and I was terrified. I was like, I feel sorry for anybody that gets in the ring with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that'll be the end of that. Because if I'm Jake Paul, I watch that and I go, yeah.
Well, so Jake's strategy has to be outlast.
Run away.
Well, I guess
had that happen once.
Wear him down a little bit and then maybe you'll have a chance. Cause the youth.
we had a boxing smoker on base, 1985-ish, and mm-hmm. I was the ring manager for our ship's boxer, a guy by the name of John L. Scott, who was he was into this. I mean, I'm gonna box. He got in that ring, and the first thing he did was start running away. I mean, running in circles. And I was like, do I throw in the towel or do I just let him keep running? And I decided to let him keep running. Anyway,
of course.
The point is, if that's Paul's strategy, okay, fine. But there's only so far you can go, you know, before he's going to catch you. And so I'm following this because I'm thinking to myself, this might be the one pay-per-view that I actually buy.
Okay.
Because I've never actually seen a man literally killed on screen before. And I might want to watch that just so I can say I did it. Not because I'm a sadist or anything like that, but because I want to see some idiot who challenged Iron Mike Tyson at 57 years of age to a boxing match. I want to see him get killed. And this might very well happen. So imagine my surprise when I turn on my computer this morning and the first thing I get hit with is a series of articles from people who are, let's just say, pro Jake Paul,
mm-hmm.
Paul Jake, whatever his name is, anti Mike Tyson, explaining to me that this video is fake. And I thought, need to read that because I need to see why these idiots think that this is fake. It boils down to, are you ready for this?
Alrighty.
One of them says, okay, Mr. Tyson, the next time you're going to fake a video like that, at least sprinkle some water on your forehead so it looks like you're working out.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, these idiots actually believe that because he's not sweating profusely, this isn't real.
Video.
This isn't real. And I thought to myself, where do I sign up for the pay-per-view? Because I actually want to see this now. Because these people are actually convincing themselves of this. I've done pay-per-views before.
Well, so maybe this is, was it Logan Paul or whatever?
Yeah. I think that's his name. Jake Paul or Logan Paul or
something. I guess anyway, can look it up. Basically, maybe it's this. Jake this Paul. Is his worst marketing
Jake Paul
decision.
Responds to Mike Tyson. You still want to fuck with me? Yeah. Let's see. Mike Tyson receives warning from doctor after Jake Paul furiously clears something. Jake Paul fires back at De La Hoya. Focus on Ryan Garcia, not me. Let's see. How big will his payout be for this murder? Oh, it's in Spanish. Spanish? Oh, wait a minute. Here it is. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
That was the Tyson's food.
$300 million for this fight? Wow. Anyway, I've done pay-per-views before, and usually, rarely is a pay-per... This is why when you buy a pay-per-view, you get the whole card, because if you just buy it for one fight, it's usually...
It's not worth it.
Right? But I did... Back in the day, we bought pay-per-views. We'd all pool our money and go over to whoever had an apartment.
Yeah.
And do it that way. And was it the Jerry Cooney... Not Vander Holyfield. What was that guy's name? I can't think of his name now. Anyway, Jerry Cooney was supposed to be the Great White Hope.
I'm not a huge boxing fan. I don't mind it, but yeah.
And it didn't last long. Anyway, the point being that I do enjoy it, but I'm fascinated by this because the reaction to Mike Tyson's video is it's all fake. Oh, you're not that great. You're not this whatever. And I'm like, I'm noticing you're not standing there.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't stand. Even with all that padding, that dude is backing up. He's like, I don't want any part of this.
Yeah.
Tyson. Well,
pride does go before the fall.
And I realize Tyson's had his issues. I'm not excusing any of that. And Evander Holyfield was a huge deal in Atlanta when I was there. He was local. He sponsored sports teams. He was big sport. I get all that. But in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen anybody as a boxer that scares me as much as Mike Tyson does. Because Muhammad Ali is still the greatest of all time because he knew how to box. He knew how to use his skills.
It was the mind games that he played.
And the mind games. Tyson doesn't need all that.
Oh, no.
He connects, you're done.
He's a bulldozer.
Yes. But man, that's the fight I would love to have seen. Muhammad Ali against Mike Tyson. That would have been the greatest heavyweight fight of all time. And I would pay to see that. I'd pay to go to that. Anyway. Not that any of that matters, but I'm just wondering if I should pay to see a man killed on television or not.
Well, totally up to you, my friend.
You don't want to go in on it with me.
I'm not.
You'd have to come up here to watch it, but I'm sure at $300 million purse, it's going to be freaking expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Ozempic is a wonderful drug for weight loss. It's not, but this one surprising effect could ruin your life. You won't want to have sex. Huh.
Yeah. I saw an article, caffeine makes fuel cells more efficient, cuts the cost of energy storage. Hey, imagine that. Caffeine is still good, even when you're not drinking it.
Celine Dion, who's 55, admits she's determined to get back on the stage and perform again. Amid her battle, she has a battle with something called, and I'm not making this up. Now, Imagine all the times you've seen Celine Dion on television. She has something called stiff person syndrome.
Wouldn't have guessed. Not at all.
Celine Dion.
Do they wheel her out on a little dolly and then like stand her up there? And
I don't know, but I've never thought of her as anything less than stiff.
Then like have, you know, someone hold her arms up or move in her arms, kind of like Aaron did with Moses.
See, now right? I got to know what this is because I'm now I'm emotionally invested.
Inquiring minds want to know.
And I've got a minute to kill. Rare neurological disorder that most often causes progressive muscle stiffness. So there you go. I guess her performances on stage weren't necessarily.
She's not dancing on stage, that's for sure.
She never was.
I mean, it's because she's got stiff person syndrome. Yes.
There you go. Anyway, surgery date is set for me April 12th. So Our last show for a little while then will be, looks like, April 7th. We will We'll be here on April 7th, but then you leave for Georgia right after that, right?
I actually leave for Georgia on the 13th, so it's actually good timing for your surgery.
Works out pretty well. Don't know how long I'm going to be out. I was surprised talking to the surgeon the other day. She said, you'll only be in the hospital overnight.
Okay.
Which I found to be bizarre. The last time they did this, the first time they did this, I was there for 3 days. But apparently they just want to get rid of you because insurance companies don't want to pay for this.
So. Well, that's part of it. You know, part of it is, you know, people do better when they're at home if they don't need to be hooked up to machines and stuff.
So there's that. Home, however, does create some problems for me because everything is upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
My bedroom, my office, my shower, everything is up. Food and prep is downstairs, but.
Yeah.
You know, there you go. But anyway, so I don't know how long I'm going to be. I anticipate a good deal of pain and recovery. This time, however, we already have the PT on the schedule. Starts the Tuesday after the surgery.
There you go.
Instead of waiting 6 weeks to start it, I'm very comfortable with the surgeon. I'm very comfortable with the plan. I'm just kind of freaking out about having it done again. So,
man, it's the needles, right? It's the needles involved.
God, I wasn't even thinking about that. And now you brought that up. Jeez. And here's the thing. I can't drink because of the A1C thing. So I'm at the sub vets yesterday and I'm talking to this guy. He's like, your eyes look terrible. And I'm like, yeah, it's the pollen. He goes, you know what you do? So you get yourself some of this local honey and you take a spoonful of that every day.
Because that won't kill your sugar.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, I'm trying to keep my A1C down. How's that going to help with that? And he goes, oh, well, it won't help with that. But you won't have your eye problem anymore. Pollen problem anymore. Like, great. Trade one for the other, I suppose.
That's only if your issue is flower pollen, right? If it's tree pollen.
I don't know. All I know is now I'm thinking about needles. Thanks.
Sorry.
On that note, I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And this has been...
What the frock?